Good afternoon. I call the Senate Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:35 p.m. Thursday, April 15th. We are meeting today in room 205 of the Capitol Building. For all our wonderful guests in the room, please remember to silence your cell phones as a courtesy. Members today present are Senator Reinbold, Senator Hughes, Senator Costello, Senator Baggage, and myself, Senator Wilson. We have a quorum to conduct business. Before us today are four bills that we previously heard and held. Our schedule today are SB 38, Naturopath Licensing Practice, SB 67, the Nursing Licensure Multi-State Compact, SB 78, the Healthcare Services by Telehealth, and SB 80, the Public Health Schools Mental Health Education. First up is Senate Bill 38, Naturopath Licensing, sponsored by Senator Kawasaki. Senator Kawasaki is on other state business at this time and cannot be here, but he left his trusty staff, Mr. Joe Hayes, here. We heard an overview and took a sexual analysis and public testimony on April 8th. To answer any questions that the department may have, the senator's office has Sarah Chambers here in the audience, the director of divisions and corporations from DCCED here in the room. Before we begin, any comments, Mr. Hayes, you would like to refresh committee members or have any comments you would like to make on the Senate Bill 38?
Through the chair, no, sir.
All right. Our office received a few amendments, seven amendments to this bill, which we'll take in order. Requested by the amendment sponsor, our first amendment is by Senator Hughes. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good afternoon. I move amendment number one.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator.
Could you give the I don't have the numbers on my
list.
Could you give the actual like above Fisher's name?
Yes, I can do that. We're going to first go to Amendment A2, Senator Hughes.
Chair, I move Amendment A2.
All right, and again, I'll object for purposes of discussion. Senator Hughes.
First, I want to make, if I may, Mr. Chair, make a general statement that I think that the naturopaths are just a great asset to the field of healthcare workers that we have. They offer things that you might not find in another provider, and I know that they're very caring people and want to help, and they have been really helpful. So I want to start off that by saying that. And this amendment and what you'll see in future has to do with they are expanding their scope to be able to prescribe, even though they might only use a limited list of things they're going to prescribe, they basically are going to be able to prescribe most everything except for controlled substances and I believe some kind of cancer medication. And so for that reason, Amendment A2 adds a prerequisite for issuing a license that the practitioner must have completed a three-year residence in addition to the other requirements. And I've done this because the clinical hours and oversight and supervision that physicians, whether it's a medical doctor, an MD, or a DO, doctor of osteopathy, go through, they have gone through residency and supervision. So I'm all for naturopaths having prescriptive authority. I just want to know that they have that extra supervision, and also that's embedded in training with physician assistants and nurse practitioners as well. So that is the reasoning behind the amendment.
Thank you. Senator Reinbold.
Is this A.2?
Yes.
Okay, so this basically is requiring naturopaths to do a three-year residency program. They made it very clear that they're not available, so this basically just completely undermines the testimony. PAs don't do residencies. They have prescriptive rights. Nurse practitioners don't do residency. They have chiropractors and PT physical therapists. They don't do residencies. I don't mind if they have, like, the ability to do an externship where they can work 3 years, in a practice. However, having a three-year residency program, I will absolutely not be supporting this. They're not available, and they have 35 years of established safe practice, and I just find this to be unconscionable to have them do a three-year residency.
Thank you. Senator Baggage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and through the chair to Mr. Hayes. What was the reason for the residencies not being available? Do you remember what the reason was?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, there are not enough naturopaths to have the residencies. And on top of it, medical doctors, their residencies are paid for by the hospitals or whatever they're in, and naturopaths don't have that ability at this moment.
Follow up?
Yes, Senator Begich.
Thank you, through the chair. What do you know the position of the sponsor on the residency, this amendment?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, the senator appreciates the intent of the amendment, but on the record, he's just curious about being the leader in the country for something that no one else is doing. And he's wondering what would be the cost ramifications, the fiscal ramifications for doing that. Would the state of Alaska be the agency that would fund the residencies? Currently, we have 52 naturopaths in the state of Alaska. Will they be grandfathered? So we're just wondering what's the fiscal aspect of doing this and being the first state in the union to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Senator Hughes?
Thank you for those comments. The residency, it doesn't prescribe how that residency could be crafted, and there are limited numbers. And I understand when you're starting off something new, a lot has to be figured out. But one of the things is that a student coming out, and I would be open to the grandfathering, but a student coming out could be paired up with existing naturopathic doctors, could even work in a clinic setting with other primary care providers where there's some level of supervision. There'd be a variety of ways. We did hear that there are some, and I'll just point out that for MDs and DOs, their residency is a minimum of 3 years, but many of them, depending what they're going into, can go up to 8 to 10 years. So we're really taking the very minimal amount for being able to do some of these things. So I would be really flexible as far as how that residency might be structured. But I just think it's important to have some level of supervision. I also want to mention that chiropractors and physical therapists do not prescribe medications. PAs, they have quite a number of clinical hours, and then even after their license, they're still supervised the entire time by a physician. So those were brought up as a comparison point. So I just want to point that out. If we're going to give this kind of wider scope, then I think that the training and everything should be more equivalent, at least at the low end of what a physician is required.
Thank you. Senator Reinbold.
I have a few other, I'd like to offer a friendly amendment to page 1, line 3. I'd like to say, has completed 2 years of naturopathic externship program. So just change from 3 to 2 and residency to externship.
All right. We have that amendment here before us. You can repeat that one more time, Senator Reinbold.
So it's to A.2.
Yep.
It's on page 1, line number 3. Change 3 to 2, because 3 years is an awful long time. And then change the residency to externship.
And I have a question for the maker of the friendly amendment to the amendment.
Senator Hughes.
What is the difference between an externship and an internship?
Maybe a residency program, basically, is that what you're saying?
So no, the difference between internship and externship. I chose the word externship.
Yeah, what an externship is basically where they're actually working in a clinical setting, like under somebody else, but they can be making money.
And I'll just follow that up. Internships, that's what residents are. They're interns, and they're making money. So I'm just wondering about the appropriateness of that word. I am open to the 2-year adjustment. I'm just not sure what the right word is
Okay, so can I speak?
Yes, Senator Bramble.
So externships provide supervised hands-on clinical training in doctor's offices as opposed to hospitals. That's where the clarity is. But see, they like more minimal intervention. They're more naturopathic. They don't like to use a bunch of chemicals and you know, deep interventions. They're not surgeons. They're trying to do naturopathic, the most natural option. So.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, that does make sense because the physicians that intern maybe is because it's in a hospital. So yes, I'd be fine with that friendly amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator. Baggage.
For the record, I can actually read a definition. I just looked one up, which I think gets right to the point.
Yep.
And it's externships, are experiential learning opportunities similar to internships provided by partnerships between educational institutions and employers to give students practical experiences in their field of study. It's different than an internship because you're not in the institution, which is what Senator Reinbold was referring to. So we have an official definition on the record.
So we have the conceptual amendment. Is there objection to the conceptual amendment 1 to amendment A2?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Casella.
Thank you. I'd been waiting. For the maker of the amendment, is this intended to make it more stringent because of the ability to prescribe? I'm assuming the answer is going to be yes, but I'll let you answer that. I just want to point out that the portion of the exam that would allow a person to prescribe under this bill is elective. So I would like to know how many naturopaths would be interested in prescription authority. And I don't know if that's something that the sponsor can answer, but if this portion of the bill, which says, you know, if they take an elective exam, then they would be able to prescribe, and so this would say that they would then have to have a two-year externship. That would be for those who aren't interested in prescribing, in addition to those that are.
Yes, Senator Hughes.
Yeah, thank you. Very astute. Thanks for pointing that out. And I just want to say it's not only for the prescriptive authority, but it's also for the various procedures they might. I know they're not going to be doing extensive inpatient surgery, but outpatient type things that they might do in an office. So it is. So we could, I suppose, it depending how limited minor office procedures is defined, we could add to this for those wishing to be have prescriptive authority certification.
We're going to take an at-ease here. We are back on record. Before we go any further, is there further objection to the conceptual amendment on A.2? Seeing no objection, the conceptual amendment by Senator Reinbold to change on the amendment line 3 on page 4, following line 3 of the amendment, has completed a two-year naturopathic externship. All right. Continued on debate on A.2. Seeing none. I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to A.2? Seeing none, A.2 passes.
As amended.
Next, going to Amendment A.5 by Senator Hughes. Senator Hughes.
Thank you. I almost said Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Amendment, it would be A.5.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
A.5 or 3?
Okay. 5.
So A.5 adds a requirement when applying for a license to practice naturopathy that the applicant must pass a pharmaceutical exam that would be equivalent to what MDs or DOs would have to pass to acquire their license. And part of this another amendment coming, and it would determine whether we would allow the word physician to be used too. If we're gonna call someone a physician, I felt like their training ought to be more on par. Their examination should be more on par. their continuing medical education should be more on par. So we've done the residency one, so now this would be a pharmaceutical exam. And I'll just point out right now that the Alaska Naturopath Association of Alaska Naturopathic Physicians is already using the word physicians on their website, and in order to keep that, to allow them to use the word physician, I think it's really important that things be on par with what the average Alaskan consumer thinks of as a physician. So that's kind of a little background, but this amendment specifically would ensure that the exam would be on par with what an MD would be taking as part of their licensing process.
Senator Reinbold.
Just as a point of clarification, I see your point in regard to being called a physician. I do think that needs to be addressed in the bill. That was the one red flag that I actually had in the bill, you know, serious red flag, I should say. But I'm not exactly sure. I think Senator Costello is looking up the amendments. I'm not sure what 0864, 210 through 220 does, and I'm not sure what, you know, you're deleting AS45030 and then you're inserting AS45030. So I just if we have a minute just to make sure that I understand the amendment, that'd be really helpful. Senator Costello, is that what you're looking at through the chair? Yes.
It is. Mr. Chair, could I call my aide up for this? If Riley Nye would be able to come up, is that okay?
I'm taking at ease. Senator A.5 amendment. And Senator Hughes.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the statute references that Senator Costello had a question. I've invited, and I have put him on the spot, my legislative intern, Riley Nye. It's his last week, and we did have a discussion. And so, Riley, those statute references, they refer to, do you recall?
Yes. So this statute.
Please state your name.
My name is Riley Nye, staff to Senator Hughes. And with the chair's permission, I'll expand upon this.
Senator Wilson?
Yes.
So it deletes this statute that's amended in this bill here, AS 08450A1A2-4, and it inserts the same statute but adds 2-5, AS 45030A1A and 2-5. So the only one that's added is 5. And if we could, I would have Legal explain 5, this fifth statute.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Casella.
Thank you. So essentially what's happening here is there's 4 requirements. We're now adding another one. So now it's 2-5. That's why it goes from 4-5. The question I had is on the top where we're saying that they have to pass a pharmaceutical examination approved by the department that is equivalent to any examination of pharmaceutical knowledge required under, and that references the examinations that are required by the medical board for somebody receiving a medical license. And so that's, and it also talks about the grading and examination. So the board that in the statute here is talking about the medical board. And so I just wanted to put that on the record so that we understand, you know, what it is that we're doing in this amendment.
Yes, Senator Baggage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to clarify then, the question that was before us was, would it be the department setting that policy or would it be the medical board setting that policy based on this? And I think the intent of the authors, that's the department that sets the policy. And I would just want to get a confirmation from Sarah Chambers that was the case.
She is going to come to the table. We'll ask Riley to make room for her.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. And our interpretation of this amendment is that it would be upon the department to review the examinations that are required under 0864 as noted in the amendment, and then assess and approve an examination that would be the equivalent of those that would be open to a naturopath to take. So The medical board itself would not be involved unless, of course, we needed advice and insight from the medical board. But there are standard examinations that they approve. We would be looking for an equivalent that would be accessible to naturopaths.
Thank you. Senator Baggage?
No, that was it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Reinbolt.
I would like to make using a page from Senator Costello's suggestion. I think it would be if a naturopath seeks increased prescription authority and has passed a pharmaceutical exam. So it's just a friendly amendment. And me, Senator Costello, if you could make sure that I'm stating this correctly, would it just be a friendly amendment that says if a naturopath seeks increased prescription authority and then has passed a pharmaceutical exam?
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to put this bill aside because I don't think it's ready yet, and there is lots of movement parts. And we'll come back to this at a later time and date.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, Senator Costello, and then we'll go through.
Thank you, and I just want to thank the sponsor of the bill for your patience, and also the members of the committee here and the chair for your patience. But just for the public's knowledge, this bill that we're in the process of amending now that we're going to hold in this committee, the next committee of referral is the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, and I was committed in that regard to working with the sponsor on a new version, but if it's held in this committee, I think that's the intent, is that the parties would come together and work on some of the issues that Senator Hughes' amendments are trying to rectify, because right now there's a lot of discomfort the way the bill is written, but there's also an interest in making it something that could possibly work. So thank you for that.
Yes. Senator Hughes and Senator Reinbolt.
Yeah, and I just want to say, and I appreciate it, Senator Reinbold's mention. Of course, it's always going to be an option whether someone decides to get this particular certification for prescribing. So that's kind of built in. But I think this discussion is good because this bill has been, I think, Joe, you said 14 years. So it's an important profession. And more people are interested in using naturopaths. I'd like to see more in this state. So I think it's important that we get it right. So I appreciate the chair wanting to hold on to it so that we can work together with the parties and make it work. Thank you.
And I just want to clarify, we're holding this bill so that the sponsor, some folks in the committee and amendments, and some of these amendments can be worked through to make sure that we can get the language corrected and make sure that we can pass out a bill that would hopefully be a good to a better bill. Senator Reinbold. Well,
I mean, I think this amendment is so important, and I would love, I know I'm not the chair of this committee, but I would love to go through these amendments. I don't think they're that hard. These first two are the two that I struggled with. The other ones don't seem that difficult. And I just think adding, if a naturopath seeks, just to make sure that all of them aren't pigeonholed, that's the only thing, and I literally took that from Senator Costello. I was just trying to make sure that our concerns were taking place, but we could have had it done by now. And that's why I'm kind of frustrated. If we could just, I would love to continue working through these and get this bill out of here.
Well, my intent is let's see if we can just work on with the sponsor and do a CS instead of doing amendment by amendment. So I think that would be a better process than going through the amendment process. So my goal is to see if the maker of the amendment and the sponsor can get together and work out a deal so we can try to have a committee CS in front of us. I think would be a better process to go forth. Senator Hughes.
I'm happy to do that. The one downfall for me is that Riley leaves after this week, so I'll be left to try to do it without him, but we can make it work.
And through the chair.
Yes, Senator Reinbold.
I don't like committee substitutes in general. I would much rather fight it out amongst all of us so it's not two people working behind closed doors. I'd much rather have an open process, and that's why I rarely do committee substitutes, you know, and I love working through the amendment process on issues. I mean, it's difficult, but I think that's what this committee's for.
I understand. Last comment, Senator Baggett, before we...
It is my last comment.
No last comment.
You know, it's maybe my last comment. I don't know. We'll see. Now, the process you've outlined is a process that can work. We have the amendments in our hands. If there are suggestions to amend these amendments, then let's do them and have this before the committee again on Tuesday to move it out. And that would be my hope and my intent, because I think the discussion's good. let's do the repair work. We can do it rapidly before Riley leaves town, even, I bet. And then you bring it back for us on Tuesday. That would be my hope. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. All right. Our next item is, Dr. Chambers, you can stay at the table. Okay, yes. Is Senate Bill 67, Nurses Licensure Multi-State Compact by Senate Rules, request of the governor. We heard this overview of the bill, took a sectional analysis on March 23rd. We took public testimony on March 25th. Available here, we have at the table Director Chambers from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, the Director of the Division Corporations, Businesses and Professional Licenses. That's long. And we also have Sean Armstrong, I believe, on the line. We do not have him online. So you are on your own today here, Director Chambers.
Mr. Chairman, we should have a few different people on the line as lifelines.
We do have Tim Sterna, the public health nurse, here from the Division of Public Health. We have the chair of the Alaska Board of Nursing, also available for questions as well. Are there any final questions for this bill sponsor before we start this amendment process? And does the bill sponsor have any comments that she would like to open up with before we start the amendment process?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Sarah Chambers. And we just appreciate the committee bringing this back up to try to work through the amendment process on some areas that have been raised either as concerns in the committee or outside the committee. We do have some questions and concerns and thoughts on the amendments and appreciate being invited to the table to be able to work through those with you today.
Thank you. Our first amendment is Amendment A.3 by Senator Begich, relating to fees. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment A.3.
Object, Senator Begich.
Thank you. This amendment is really about equity in our process. It's when an Alaskan applies for an Alaska State nursing license, they're required to pay a licensing fee. This amendment simply ensures that any nurse seeking to practice in the state pays that same fee. No one group is exempt from that requirement. This would also have the added effect of requiring a default registration for all nurses under a multi-state license, allowing us to know who is practicing nursing in our state. This came up extensively in our discussions. We talked about the need for registration. I know that there's some other thoughts on registration here, but this really specifically gets to that fee. I want to give an example if I can, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Beck.
Thank you. A recent regulation change that goes into effect in May for advanced practice registered nurses, or APRNs, requires APRNs to register and pay a fee for the ability to engage in the prescription drug monitoring program. I believe this regulation change should and will apply to any traveling or telehealth APRNs as well. An advanced practice registered nurse who's also required to hold a registered nurse license would also need to register and pay the fee in order to prescribe controlled substances and to participate in the program. This regulation change should not be waived if this bill were to pass for APRNs who hold and operate under a multi-state license. So all of Alaska's APRNs would be required to register and pay the fee for the prescription drug monitoring program. Without this amendment, some APRNs under the compact would be required to pay a fee, and some would not be required to pay a fee. Thus, this amendment would ensure, should this bill pass, fairness and equity by requiring every APRN in Alaska to pay the same fees. So it's about equity.
Further discussion, Senator Reinbold.
Okay, so just clarity, this is 8.3, correct?
Yes. 8.3, yes.
Okay, so my question is this increasing any fees for any current nurses, or do they already pay those? I just want to make sure that I know you're having people come from outside pay these, but is this going to require the nurses that are already practicing to have to pay into this drug monitoring program?
The way I've written it, it should not do that. What it would require would be that the fees would be across the board.
And we'll just follow up with Director Chambers on terms of two questions. One, if you could answer the question from Senator Reinbold just for confirmation that the intent that Senator Begich is clear.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Sarah Chambers. So My understanding from listening to Senator Begich's example is that that was an example, and this amendment does not have anything to do with the prescription drug monitoring program, nor does the compact have anything to do with APRNs. The compact is only for registered nurses and licensed practical nurses. It is not applicable to advanced practice registered nurses and doesn't involve the prescription drug monitoring program as far as the bill is concerned. So an example, but not one-to-one.
Thank you. Senator Reinbold, follow-up?
Okay, so that's good clarification. And so basically, I just want to make sure, because you keep saying this is about equity, so it's just to make sure that those nurses that from the outside coming in have to pay a fee. Is that correct?
So through the chair, Senator Reinbold, the amendment would require multi-state licensed nurses who are not residents of Alaska, because if Alaska is your home state, then you get your multi-state license in Alaska, which is the same paperwork and fee process. This would be for multi-state licensed nurses who are coming to work in Alaska who are not claiming Alaska as their home state. What the amendment would do is to have them pay the equivalent of our nursing application fee. The way the amendment's written does not require them to pay a license fee, but to pay the application fee that an initial nurse would pay with a license. That's to answer your question, and then we do have some other sort of technical concerns about the amendment.
Senator, was there just tiny?
Yes, Senator Reinbold.
How much is that that fee? Because I mean, it actually sounds like a reasonable amendment to me. How much is the fee?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, we didn't have enough notice of the amendments to do all of that detail work. But typically an application fee is for any program is no more than a couple hundred dollars, but I don't know what it is for nurses today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And Director Chambers, you said there is another concern that you may have had.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly understand the intent of the amendment, and our concern is that this amendment would keep us from entering the compact because it places a non-compact requirement on compact nurses, and that's not allowable in the agreement among the compact states. So when we're thinking about the compact or the multi-state license, we're really thinking of two very separate licensing schemes or systems. An Alaska license is what we have now. The multi-state license is a completely different mechanism to prove the same, if not more, qualifications than the Alaska license. And so it's the apples oranges type of example. It's hard to think of equity if you're thinking of apple versus apple. This is an orange, and so to think of equity, to flip it on its head, Alaska nurses who want to go work out of state on a multi-state license, they are not going to be asked to pay an additional fee to pay into another state system. That's counter to the compact, and that state couldn't do it and be a compact state. So the equity really is that Alaska nurses don't pay to work in another state. Other state nurses don't pay to work in Alaska. That would be an equitable system.
Thank you. Senator Hughes and Senator Begich.
Okay, so maybe we'll make a little fruit salad here.
My line.
So I'm wondering, Sarah, if you could tell us, if we took the amount of this application fee and instead of having the nurse pay it in order to work here, that an employer who is bringing in someone from out of state, mm-hmm. is multi-state, that employer would pay an amount equivalent to that fee to help cover that supervision by the board. Is that something that would work?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I think that's an innovative question that relates to the registry amendment. So that's certainly something that would not be an imposition on the nurse, him or herself, but would create another level of bureaucracy for employers, but that would not meet the threshold of keeping us out of the compact. It's not a deal breaker, as it were.
And so follow up?
Yes, follow up.
So I don't know if the maker of the amendment would be open to something such as that to.
Mr. Chairman?
I think that follows our next amendment, but Senator Baggage.
I think it may fall under the next amendment, but I think that's a very good solution and a very, very innovative idea. So I'd be more than happy to explore that. I don't want to hold the bill up unnecessarily, but I'd be more than happy to explore that. Yes. And perhaps to the next committee referral.
Thank you. Senator Reinbold.
Tell me if I'm reading the amendment incorrectly, Senator Baggage, through the chair. It doesn't say who pays the fee in here, so I don't know why that couldn't already be part of this.
Director Chambers would like to respond. Director Chambers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, this is in context of the fees that are being set for nurses. So within the context of the existing statute that this would amend, that would be in the list of things that nurses are required to pay.
Through the chair?
Yes, Senator Reinbold.
I'm supporting this amendment because I am a huge believer in Alaska Jobs First. It's very expensive to move up here, and I want Alaska Jobs First. I see a tremendous amount of opposition to this bill, and I'm going to support this.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Reinbold. I'm sorry, Senator Baggage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would say, just thinking it through, listening to the comment, if we did go the approach that Senator Hughes was suggesting, then I would want that approach to apply to all nurses so that the equity issue is retained so that employers are paying the fee that would otherwise be paid by nurses. So that's what I would probably want to see happen there in that case to make it equitable, because it's coming out of an Alaskan pocket. The fee is coming out of an Alaskan pocket now of a nurse versus those who might come in under the compact. And that's what this amendment is trying to address. So I'm going to continue to support my amendment, but I think that you proposed something that we ought to look at as this bill moves through the process. Absolutely believe that.
Senator Hughes.
So if this amendment were adopted, it basically kills the bill, doesn't it? Because we could no longer have the multi-state license, and we would.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, that's correct.
All right, Senator Baggage.
Follow up. Is that absolute, or is that a conjecture that it would? Is it an absolute? You've gotten a note from them saying if this passes, it will kill the bill.
Through the chair, Senator Baggage. Yes, and Rebecca Foch from the National State Council of Boards of Nursing should be on the line as a lifeline. But we have been in communication with her about the amendments, and there are more than one amendment that would kill the bill. It would keep Alaska, even if it were in state law, it would keep Alaska out of the compact because it imposes non-compact restrictions on compact nurses.
Unless the compact adopted the restriction.
Through the chair, if all the other 35 states adopted it in their state legislatures, mm-hmm. then that could be something that would become part of the compact, but it would take that ratification and Alaska would not be able to join until that was the norm.
I understand. Thank you.
All right. Well, I will continue my objections. Do you have a question, Senator?
No, I just wanted to make a comment.
Oh, yeah, Senator Casella.
I appreciate this conversation because it highlights one of the reasons that I have huge concerns about a multi-state licensure. It takes away the autonomy of Alaskans to be managing the nurses, And so it just shows that all of a sudden, if we are going to make a statutory change, we have to get approval from this national organization. So I appreciate this conversation that we're having.
Thank you. We'll move to a roll call vote for Amendment A.3.
Senator Baggage.
Yes.
No.
Senator Costello.
Pass.
Senator Reinbold.
Yes.
Senator Costello? Or Senator Wilson?
Sorry. No.
Okay. So Senator Costello.
No.
Two yeas, three nays.
With two yeas and three nays, Amendment A.3 fails. Our next amendment is A.5. by myself. I'll move amendment A.5.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. This amendment was upon the conversations earlier in this bill presentation for the committee that deals with the registry of nurses practicing under the multi-state license. This would require the employer to be able to register those nurses with the Board of Nursing so that we can keep sort of a list or knows who's practicing nursing within our state. And I just thought that was a wonderful idea of the development of the conversation, and just wanted to make sure that we can have some type of control of the practice of nursing still and not give up our entire autonomy within this practice. So this requires a nurse to notify the board within that employment, and then also will also notify the board of when they are terminated as well. So there's a front door and a back door to making sure the registry is updated in a timely manner. Questions? Senator Baggage? Senator Hughes.
Well, I actually would like to hear from Sarah how that would impact, and I like the idea, and I appreciate the maker of the amendment bringing it forward. And I also, when Sarah speaks to this, we've heard a little bit about the autonomy, and I just need a little quick refresher on the board's oversight of multi-state license. If we were to pass this, what our board's oversight and ability would be to work with these nurses, if you could include that in your answer, please.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, thank you for those questions. First of all, our thoughts on the amendment is that this would not be a bill killer. It would not be a deal breaker, because it doesn't place the onus on the nurse. It does add additional requirements on the employer, and we are asking employers for their thoughts on it, but this would be on the employer. Just the concerns, which are really neither pro or con, is that we have no ability to enforce this registry, and so if there is a list that, say, just thinking about the implementation, if it's a list that employers can just go online and enter this data, and we do not need to expend any resources, there's no enforcement of it because we don't regulate the employers, then that's one thing. If the expectation is that it would be a registry that we would have a system that would involve follow-up, but it would involve double-checking, it would have some kind of reconciliation or failure, if we had a complaint that there was a failure to report a nurse, if we were given that enforcement authority, then that would be a very different type of registry. So that's of interest to us, is to hear more about the expectation. But as written, would be basically a website where employers on their honor would go in and enter, and if they didn't, there would be no recourse. Now, that said, we don't know who's practicing in Alaska now. We don't do that now with out-of-state nurses who hold an Alaska license may or may not be in the Caribbean. They may or may not be in Florida. They may or may not be at Providence. We don't know that now. There's no requirement for employers to let us know which nurses on our Alaska list are working for us. We would have access to know who has a multi-state license, because we would be a partner in that database. So we would know, just like an Alaska license, which nurses have a multi-state license. But just like today, even without the registry, just like today, we still wouldn't know who's employed. That's for the employer to make sure that they hold an appropriate license and credential. So this would add a higher threshold than what we have for Alaska-based or Alaska-licensed nurses who may or may not live in Alaska. Regarding the autonomy question, there may be some misunderstanding that about the board's role. The board continues to govern the practice of Alaska over multi-state licensed nurses. If you step out of line as a multi-state license, you get your hand slapped by the Board of Nursing, and it becomes an even bigger problem for you because now your ability to work in any state is affected. So that's even a bigger punishment, so to speak, than what we have with just Alaska. The Board of Nursing continues to govern the practice of nursing. So multi-state licensed nurses are not able to come into Alaska and do things that Alaska nurses can't do. They can only do the things Alaska nurses can do. And so that's up to the Alaska Board of Nursing through the legislature's authority to continue to monitor and manage. So those systems don't change. The only thing I think that changes is that Alaska now becomes a partner in an agreement, just a business agreement with another group of states, much like the driver's license compact, much like the EMS compact that we have now through the federal government, much like the fingerprinting compact that the Senate Finance is including in the bill, or previously included, not included anymore, in the bill with the governor's disaster declaration. It's an agreement among states to say we're all going to allow these things to happen, and if we want something different to happen, we're all going to agree and sign off, or we're going to remove ourselves from the compact. So it's the same principle that allows you to drive in Washington State, in Palm Springs, that you don't have to get a new license every time you go into a new state. We have that type of compact in Alaska now, and it's the same thing. It's just the practice of nursing, again, with higher standards and expectations than Alaska's current standards.
Thank you. Follow-up, Senator? Senator Reinbold.
So just speaking to the amendment, it does sound like a new concept, a new registry. It's a new section. I'm not typically a fan of government databases. However, because these outside nurses may come and create competition for local nurses, Alaskan nurses, maybe it's not a bad idea. What I would like to do is first of all, echo Senator Costello's comments earlier that she's not big into centralized control or federal, you know, control. I'm not either. It just seems like that's what we're heading. In almost every bill, it seems like it's coming before us. So I'm not a big fan of that. But I just would like you to remind us, what is the purpose? Why is this bill being heard right now? And is this something that you think is necessary?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, thank you for that fundamental question. We have proposed, the administration proposed this bill last year and is again proposing it this year because we are bogged down with the bureaucracy of getting an Alaska license. Nurses have we have healthcare needs that are not being met by the delays that and requirements that are currently within our state statutes and regulations. This is a model that's been This is a model that's been adopted by more than half of the states because it provides efficiency with adequate oversight and retains state control. We think it's important because we continue to hear that perfectly qualified nurses in another state have to go through a system of proving exactly the same thing they've already proven time and time again. And we think that sounds like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over again and expecting different results. This is also a military family bill. This is the number one priority of the Department of Defense, and the gold standard with licensure is to set high standards and have states rigorously agree to them so people can seamlessly transition from one jurisdiction to another, maintaining a spotless record, maintaining a clean record. So military, DMVA, Department of Defense, and various military constituencies in the state are very strongly in favor of the Nurse Licensure Compact for that reason.
Through the chair.
Thank you, Senator.
First of all, you contradicted yourself, not to be, controversial, but you were saying we're trying to maintain local control, but we're actually giving up control as we've noted in the other amendments, because we have to go back to the compact. So, and the military, as long as they, you know, turn their residency here, then they're going to get preference. We've got so many military license preferences. So I'm sorry, I don't exactly buy that argument, knowing that I have one of the biggest military people, and no one's actually asked me for this. But with that, I'm not going to object to this amendment. I will be supporting it.
Do you still maintain your objections, Andrew?
No, I withdraw my objection, Mr. Chair.
Is there further objection? Seeing none, Amendment A.5 passes. So we have our next amendment, A.6, by Senator Begich. Senator Begich.
I move Amendment A.6.
I'll object.
So this amendment goes to the issue of gold standards and those kinds of things and the standards that we have locally. This amendment is about ensuring that every nurse practicing in the state is required to meet the same expectations. In regulation, our Board of Nursing has outlined a very comprehensive list of barrier crimes that would prohibit someone from practicing nursing in Alaska. Not every state has these same expectations. Our State Board of Nursing has identified specific barrier crimes, including ones that deal with sexual assault and abuse. Any person practicing nursing in Alaska should be required to meet our threshold of expectation when it comes to barrier crimes. If we're part of the compact, we will be limited in adding new barrier crimes once we're in the compact to this, unless every state agreed to those new barrier crimes that might emerge. Alaska regulates the practice of nursing truly for the sole purpose of protecting the public from folks who prey on the vulnerable. It's one of the reasons we practice nursing. Nursing services are provided in a variety of settings, such as private homes or one-on-one settings. This amendment provides assurances for the public that Alaska nurses have been vetted.
Well, we heard about amendments to kill. I obviously don't want to put anyone who can't meet barrier crimes into vulnerable populations. Director Chambers, any comments on?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we've had less than a day to review the amendments, but we have spent considerable time on that. My reading of the amendment is a little different, but it isn't anything that would be that deal breaker we've discussed. So we could continue with fruit salad on this one.
Senator Hughes.
In my understanding is in order, most locations and healthcare facilities that might be bringing in a nurse such as this are also billing Medicaid, and in order to be Medicaid for that facility, they have a high bar. They can't. Is that correct, Mr. Chair? As far as the barrier crime, so I think that we're probably not entering into territory that's would be a problem anyway, because they have to have employees that would meet that threshold so that they wouldn't lose their ability to bill Medicaid. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
You know, I'm not sure, but I see that Mamie Sean Armstrong is online from the Department of Public Health Nursing, and I know a lot of folks have to go through different background checks to be able to bill Medicaid, so I'm not sure if that is a federal barrier crime list that the state has adopted or the state created their own. Mr. Armstrong, are you available to provide comment on Senator Hughes' question?
Well, and thank you. And yeah, for the record, Sean Armstrong, I'm a deputy chief of nursing within the Division of Public Health, Department of Health and Social Services. And so through Chair Wilson, to respond to Senator Hughes' question, I probably am not the best person to answer this. I actually don't feel I have the information to be able to respond. I apologize.
Right. Well, maybe the chair of nursing is also online for the board. Jeanette, are you online with us?
Yes, for the record, this is Jeanette Schlater. I'm the chair of the Board of Nursing. Through the chair to answer Senator Begich's question, I can only speak to what I know as working in a large facility, is that in order to work there, I have to go through additional fingerprinting and state background checks for barrier crimes. So that's part of my employment, and I believe it covers anyone who works in healthcare. I also would like to point out that the licensing requirements for the NLC, you cannot qualify for a multi-state license if you've been convicted or found guilty or has entered into an agreement disposition of a felony offense under applicable state or federal crime law, and that you can't have any misdemeanor convictions related to the practice of nursing. So somebody could not qualify for a multi-state license. They would have to seek a single state license in order to practice nursing.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I just going to say I don't.
Can I follow up on that?
Yes, Senator Bagage.
Well, certainly misdemeanors vary from state to state, and crimes vary from state to state, and each state adopts its own criminal code. What might be a crime in one state may not be a crime in another state. And so, while I respect that answer, that answer doesn't get to the point of what is unique to Alaska and Alaska criminal behavior and criminal statutes. So
yes,
this amendment does, and what I heard Director Chambers say is it doesn't appear to violate the compact. So I'm hoping that there wouldn't be resistance to it.
No, Mr. Senator Bagage, I was just going to state I don't see this as a deal breaker. If folks are have to go through the background fingerprinting after to make sure to be licensed or to be to make sure, and if so, becomes a problem. It has two other committees of referral, so that the problem could be alleviated if it does create such that. So I will remove my objection unless there's still objection to A.6. Seeing none, A.6 passes. Our next amendment is A.7 by Senator Bagage. Senator Bagage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move A.7.
I'll object.
And I almost want to start by saying, does this violate the compact potentially? Now, this is an amendment that would require, and this came up in debate. We were having a discussion about the unique nature of Alaska nursing, and in particular about the fact that we have significant, 20% of our population is Alaska Native. What this says is that the amendment would simply require every nurse practicing and who seeks to practice nursing in the state of Alaska successfully complete a 2-hour training in Alaska Native cultures. This is where our nurse practitioners practice. This is where they do a lot of their work remotely when they don't necessarily, where they may be the lead medical provider. Multiple sources of these type of educational offerings exist. The practice of healing and health counseling requires respect for the culture of those being served and an understanding of their cultural practices. This amendment would increase the effectiveness of all Alaska nurse licensees in serving the public. But I am curious as to whether or not this is perceived as something that would be, by the compact, an overreach.
Director Chambers?
Through the chair, thank you. Senator Bagage, yes, this would be a deal breaker because it would require someone to take additional requirements before they could practice in the state. As the senator mentioned, this is not currently a requirement of any nurse in Alaska. It hasn't been a problem that's been brought to our attention. We don't have complaints that are related to a lack of training and understanding in this area. Again, most of our nurses in Alaska come from out of state already. So if this is something independent of this bill that the committee feels or the senator feels is really, really important that all nurses practicing in Alaska should have this training, then there may be some other ways to accomplish it through employment. It may be an opportunity for someone to complete it later on in their tenure with Alaska. But as written, if it's a requirement before they can practice, it is not. It will keep us out of the compact.
Yes, Senator Bagage, follow-up, then Senator Reinbold.
Yes, a follow-up, two points. The first point being, but of course, if we adopted it after the fact of being in the compact or something like this as a standalone piece of legislation, it would violate the compact and would then be null. Wouldn't that be correct?
Through the chair, Senator Bagage, that might be something we could ask Rebecca Fauch online to clarify whether if all the nurses practicing in Alaska had to take it within, say, 90 days or 180 days or something of starting to practice, which we would know because of the registry,
sure,
then whether that would violate the compact would be a great question for her.
And I have a second question. Could we ask Rebecca Fox that question just to get this one answered?
Yes. Rebecca?
Hi. Hi, this is Rebecca Fox, NCSBN. That is a great question, and I don't have a definitive answer for you right now. I can certainly get one from the attorney of the nurse licensure compact. My thought is no, because what the NLC does not allow is any impediment for a compact nurse to begin practicing. So any extra requirement that a nurse has to undergo to begin practicing is what the issue is. So while I couldn't tell you definitively, I think that it very possibly could be acceptable to the compact, and I will definitely get you an answer very soon.
Be very appreciated. Yeah.
And Rebecca, can you state your organization for the record, please?
Yes, it's called NCSBN, the National Council of State Boards of Nursing.
Thank you.
My other question, Mr. Chairman, was just, and maybe it's more of a concern, but this gets to my point about the compact that I've had difficulty with and that I've talked to Director Chambers about before, and that is, and it goes to the Senator Reinbold's issue as well, I think, of the issue of autonomy or state autonomy, and you know, I admit every state must think it's unique. I'm certain our state is. No state has a 21% or greater population of Alaska Natives than our state does. We are a state that has significant challenges geographically and otherwise that are unique to our state. And I'm just maybe posing, and this amendment kind of brings it to a head to me, but at what point do we recognize the uniqueness of this state, and at what point do we sacrifice that uniqueness in the service of a much, you know, sort of broader template that may or may not reflect the needs of our state? So that's my deeper concern here. Nonetheless, that the motion is before us. So.
Thank you, Senator Baggage. Checking at ease. At 2:47 p.m.